Hi, how you doing? What? Oh, I'm sorry, didn't know. Anyway, today's show comes with a little bit of a warning, as every show should. This show is for adults, young adults, adults, and adults, and adults after that. Seniors would be adults, that's fine. If you have a teenage child, shoo them away. Go tell them to play with their little electronic devices or something, which they're probably doing anyway. Get them out of the room right now. They sicken me. Also, if you have a young infant, like 1, 2, 3 years old, they're not going to understand what the hell's going on, so that's just fine. Otherwise, this show is kind of for adults only. What am I going to be talking about? Well, you'll find out.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
No, don't do it.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van
Dam. Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, they could get weird. They could get weird.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? I asked you that already. I didn't even care to begin with. Today, later on the show, we're going to speak to author Richard Watts. He's written a book called Entitlemania. It's a fascinating, fascinating book. It's about kids, not necessarily rich kids, but kind of them, who are brought up in a world by their parents where they are king of the creams. They can do no wrong. Their stuff that comes out of their ass doesn't smell. I put that very tastefully, didn't I? They don't know the difference between right and wrong. They've been coddled by their parents for their entire lives. And you don't have to be rich to be coddled by your parents for your entire life. You know, your parents tell you, you're the best thing in the world. You are fantastic. You are going to be anything you want to be. You can be a football star. You can be president. Well, these days, that's not a great thing to be. But they puff you up to the point where when you get out into the real world, you're just totally lost. That's called entitlement. People who think that that the world owes them everything, like Trump, so to speak. Entitlement. We're going to talk about people like that a little later on in the show with author Richard Watts. It should be really incredibly wonderful to the point where you will say to yourself, that was incredibly wonderful. But before we do that, I was shocked, amazed, and other adjectives that apparently there's a new app for your smartphone. And this app, it just blew me away, so to speak. It's actually an app for your phone so that you can have oral sex with somebody on the other end of the phone. You're saying, Ron, there's an app for that? Apparently there is. First, let's figure out, like, why people would even want an app like this.
Like, there's nothing worse than coming up after, like, giving a blowjob and, like, pulling a gross hair out of your mouth.
I perform oral sex probably, like, 80% of the time that I'm, like, sort of hooking up with someone.
I've started this new thing where I don't do it unless I've received it first, so it's been a while.
I like to perform more than receive just because I think when I start receiving it, I'm thinking about so many things.
You want to make them feel good, so I don't think that it's a bad idea to ask them what they're into.
I feel like it's a nice gesture to give oral sex, because it just shows that you
it's a nice care gesture.
That they're having a good time.
When you are performing oral sex, or any, I think, sex act, really, I think instinct kicks in a little bit.
I'm a little too focused on my technique, because I'm like a competitive person who just wants to succeed.
Use a lot of moisture. Don't squeeze too hard.
Your mouth gets tired, your jaw gets tired. You get tired of doing all of the things you have to do.
I want you to have this orgasm. That's going to be really amazing, except for the fact that my knee is giving out right now. I need to get off my knees.
As soon as it starts becoming uncomfortable for me, I'm like, that's it. You missed your chance. Your window's gone.
I feel really bad when I stop and I know he's close, but I'm like, sometimes your jaw's just like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. I'm locking up. Like, it's not going to happen. Someone could get injured. I have to stop.
If you're listening to your partner's like movements and like kind of playing off that, I think you're on the right track.
I really want to finish. Like, I really want him to finish. And when he doesn't, I feel like I'm like losing the game. Like, no, I'm good at this.
It shifts from being like all about doing a good job to like, Jesus Christ, when are you going to fucking finish? It takes forever.
When you look up and you see someone, like, it looks like they're being like possessed by like a ghost or a devil or something. They're like, oh, okay. That's my favorite. That's when you know.
I always have my ears open, and when like they hit you with the fuck yeah, like that's always like, you know.
When you just hear a fuck, that's, you're doing so good. Keep at it, girl. As soon as they start cursing, you're like in the clear. Great job. You're doing great. That's how you know you've done it well.
Oh boy. That's why I wanted the kids to get out of the room. Do you understand now? Yeah, we're talking about that here because there's a new app for your phone where you can actually engage in this stuff. And I didn't think it was possible either. So here you go.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
And I usually don't do this kind of show. First of all, let me explain something. This is not the kind of show I usually ever do. I mean, sometimes I cross the line a little bit, but this is why kids get out of here. Go, get out of here. I don't want you here. Get out. All right, here we go. Now you can give oral sex long distance by licking your phone. Here we go. Smartphones allow people to check sports scores, send email, and watch cat videos almost anywhere. Now you can also perform this by just licking your phone, believe it or not. That's the idea behind Ocast, a new digital marketplace that allows people to upload simulated oral sex sessions that can be then downloaded onto a vibrator via Bluetooth. A Bluetooth vibrator. Can you imagine that? Technology has come a long way. Ocast spokesman Darren Press says his product is sort of an iTunes for oral sex, since the plan is to offer all sorts of different tongue patterns for download at this website. It works like this. One person downloads a web app that records vibratory patterns made by licking the phone screen. You can also use your finger, but telling people to lick the phone helps the clickbait. If your phone screen is clean, you should be okay. If your phone screen is clean, you should be okay. My phone screen is not clean. Nobody's phone screen is clean. You touch it with your fingers, which has touched everything in the world that is awful. The phone screen is one of the dirtiest places you can be. Yet they're asking you to lick your phone screen. oh my God, people are going to die. Whether you use a finger or tongue, these patterns last up to 60 seconds in length. They can be anything from circles, straight lines, or even the alphabet. Yes, I many times wanted to make the letter R with my tongue. I crave doing that. Oh, God. Oh, man. Those vibratory patterns are then connected via Bluetooth to the this remote control vibrator that sells for $100 a pop. The plan is to provide a place where men and women can record their oral techniques so it can be sampled and hopefully appreciated by the world at large. Yeah, well, touchy technology was tested with the help of some camera models working at other businesses. Cam Soda, an adult entertainment website, aided in that. Cam Soda was surprised at what they discovered from the hands-on research. They gravitated toward the higher vibrations, I would think so. I didn't think that they'd want a product that vibrates so aggressively. When I hold it, I can feel the vibes going down my forearm. You know, that's where you want to feel the vibes going down your forearm. That's where my sexual pleasure is, down my forearm. What? Adult entertainer Charlie Hart tested out the product and was impressed by the results. Well, what can you say? I don't know who this guy is. I loved it, she said. Oh, it's a woman. I loved it, she said. Nothing is like the real thing, but it's great when the other person is far away. Mm-hmm. Hart plans to utilize it in her work as a cam model by letting fans perform on her by uploading their own oral sex performances during private shows, provided they pay an additional fee, of course. But Hart can see other options for OCAST, such as giving people who are unsure of their oral sex skills a chance to have them tested by sex experts or sexperts, or be a calling card for those who are good at it. And you understand what I just said. Guys who are good at oral sex are rare, so a guy who is, I'm calling back, she says. Currently, there are 12 sample orgasms. 12 sample orgasms. Would you like to sample one of our orgasms? They come in various sizes, and would you like to sample one of our orgasms? They're available for download with titles like Getting Loco, Mushroom Cloud, and Sensual Bath. More will be added as people come to the website, and I assume that's in quotations. Where this turns out to be the future of virtual sex remains to be seen. A few months back, this company attempted to do something similar for fellatio, but sales have been limp. The device for that is expensive. For the fellatio thing, it's about $250. It's the best of its kind, but not quite there, they say. So this is the app that they're calling the app for oral sex, OCAST, the letter O-CAST. And I don't know what things have come to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not too sure. I got to tell you one thing, though, without question, I am not licking my phone, no way, shape, or how. I'm not licking my phone. No one is going to lick my phone. I don't have phone licking insurance. I don't think Apple or the Android people ever thought that people would be licking their phones. I don't know if getting your phone wet is a good idea. I'm assuming, I don't know, do you put the whole phone in your mouth? I don't quite understand that. Could you get electrocuted by doing this? I guess you're just supposed to lick the screen. Which would make a very interesting screensaver. No. Anyway, OCAST, give it a try, I suppose. I don't know. It's interesting, though, that the Bluetooth would go to your vibrator. It's a Bluetooth vibrator. And that's $100, I guess. And I assume that would be the full experience, I assume. I'm just wondering if you just had it, the vibrations recreated on the phone, if you could take the phone and put that in your private area, would that also be stimulating? I don't know. I'll tell you something, though. If I'm not going to lick my phone, I'm certainly not going to put my phone down there in the private area where things are going on. I don't think I want my phone in that area either. I know some women that actually put their phones, they shove them in their bra because if they don't have a pocketbook or a purse, they have no, women don't have pockets in their pants. I don't think it's because they don't make pants that way. I think it's the women wouldn't wear them. They don't want any bulging going on pocket-wise. Men, if that bulges, that's good. Women, that's not good. So I know some women that actually put their cell phones in their bras for storage. And I tell them constantly, I'm not shy. I say, you know, that is like breast cancer waiting to happen. I mean, seriously? You're going to have data being transferred to your boobs? I mean, that's not good. That's not good. Ocast. Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. All right. I have noticed that a lot of celebrities have their own clothing lines, and I've talked about this before, but I'm finding that this is becoming a possibility for me. I do all right here with this show. I make a living. I make a good living. But many celebrities, they actually go the step further and they have their own clothing line or their own cosmetics line or something like that. And I really figure I should step it up and use my celebrityship, which is certainly not that, you know, much of it. But I should start my own clothing line. And I figured, like, what do I wear? What do I wear that I know really, really well? What do I have that I am an expert in clothing wise? And that would have to be pants. I mean, I wear them every single day. I put them on well. I really do. I don't fall over when I'm putting my pants on. I don't have to sit down. Those pants, like, they're moo, you know. One pant leg over the head and then the other. I mean, those pant legs, my pants, nice. Every once in a while, someone will tell me that my zipper is open. That's a faux pas. That's a wardrobe malfunction. But otherwise, I'm really swift with pants. Been wearing pants all of my life. All of my, from the day that I could wear pants, I was wearing pants. Let me tell you something. When I was a little infant, my mother used to put diapers on me, which was really the beginning of pants. So I'm really into pants. I know what pants are like. I know the pant materials. My legs like pants. I even wear pants under my pants. I call them underpants. So I just know pants backwards and forwards. That's why I'm going into the pant business. Now, I'm not going to, my name isn't Eddie Bauer. My name isn't Tommy Hilfiger. I don't have one of those kinds of names. My name is Ron Van Dam. So it will have to be Ron Van Dam brand pants, Ron Van Dam pants, which rolls off the tongue. It's, there's some oral sex for you, Ron Van Dam pants. That rolls off the tongue. So that's what I'm getting into, kids. And on some of the shows, you'll start hearing me actually advertise my pants.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Hey. I want to tell you about an event that's taking place on March 22nd It's the 25th annual Taste of Metro South. This is happening in New England in the city called Brockton, which is about 20 miles south of Boston, about 30 miles north of Providence. It's taking place at the Massasoit Conference Center this year. This is on Wednesday, March 22nd. Oh my goodness, here's the concept of the thing. It's my favorite event. You pay one fee at the door, and you walk throughout this gigantic ballroom, and you just eat stuff. I mean, you just eat. There are over 40 restaurants being represented that have food there of all types: desserts, appetizers, main courses, meats, fun foods, pizzas. I mean, you name it. Every kind of food is there. Gourmet stuff, everything. And you have samples of everything. If you like it, you go back for another sample, to the point where you can't eat no more. What a wonderful concept this is, and they do it better than anybody else. There are others of them around, but this is the best one. There are going to be over 40 area restaurants and food vendors there. They have live entertainment, including jazz, which is wonderful while you're eating food. There are many business vendors there. I will be there. Hey, come over and say hello to me. We'll be doing a live podcast from that event. So say hello. Man, what more do you want from me? This is taking place in the city of Brockton. It's from 5:30 to 8 o'clock on Wednesday, March 22nd. If you live in the Boston Providence area, this is where you will want to be. How do you get tickets? It's so simple that it's not funny. It's MetroSouthTaste.com, MetroSouthTaste.com, MetroSouthTaste.com. There you can pick up tickets, see what restaurants are being offered, what restaurants will be there attending. It's perfect. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they're still accepting restaurants. It's going to be huge. So there you go. If you have any questions, you can call 508-586-0500, 508-586-0500, extension 231 will get you right over there, and they'll answer any questions that you want. So hopefully I'll see you there. That's Wednesday, March 22nd. Please go, because I'm going to be there, and I love the food. Well, actually, don't go, because then there'll be more food for me. Oh, how about reverse psychology? That never worked. Every time I use reverse psychology, it ends up teaching me a lesson. it just doesn't happen, man. Don't happen. Okay, when we come back from these commercial words, we're going to talk about Entitlement, a new book by Richard Watts. It's going to be fascinating, a fascinating conversation. We'll be right back after these words.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Richard Watts joins us. The book is called Entitlemania. What is Entitlemania, Richard?
Entitlemania is a state of mind in children where they believe they should be able to have anything that they want, but don't appreciate or realize or want to make any effort in order to get it.
Okay. Would this be called rich kid syndrome, kind of?
You know, I get asked that a lot. I don't know that really it's just a rich kid syndrome. I think I've seen it in all different levels of wealth. I've even had people that have contacted me to let me know that they see it in the projects where moms, single moms of multiple kids, will prioritize a $135 pair of sneakers and multiple channels on cable TV before she worries about paying the rent.
Yeah, Would only children, in other words, parents with just one child, would they be more in the entitlement category because they're coddled more, they get all the attention, it's all put into them? Does that percentage-wise work?
You know, I don't think that that's necessarily true. It would seem intuitive that that would be the case. Uh-huh. But if you really think about it, oftentimes the oldest child is the hardest worked.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think about which child in the lineup of kids, yeah, only child or otherwise, mm-hmm. is the most anal, it usually is the one that is the oldest. And they're constantly parenting the other kids. They're mm-hmm. constantly challenged by mom and dad. And oftentimes, as you get into multiple kids, you know, you wind up, the parents become more relaxed and they let the kids go do their own thing.
Yeah.
And it's doing their own thing that really allows life to have its force on them and have its reaction to them, so they learn.
Yeah. Could it actually be misconstrued or construed that not being a really great parent could make a child more independent?
Yeah, what I say sometimes is, when in doubt, just stop being a parent. It's almost like flying an aircraft. They tell you, you know, the thing will fly itself. The thing that messes it up sometimes is you put your hands on it as an amateur pilot. You just let go of the wheel, and it will right itself.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree, parents oftentimes, some of the really the most neglectful parents. And I'm certainly not suggesting that.
Right.
But I'm just saying, as a contrast, some of the most neglectful parents wind up creating these stories you and I hear about children that rise from the ranks of absolutely the most terrible circumstances to become really incredible individuals.
It kind of makes sense. And again, you're not encouraging parents not to parent, but it kind of makes sense that the more that you're left on your own, the more you will learn out of survival, I guess, in a sense, would be the word.
Well, and if you think of where you were and where I was and how things might have changed in the last few decades, my parents really were not concerned from morning other than me getting out of the house.
Yeah.
I was on my own, and I can tell you of discoveries from morning to night that they don't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, even as I got older, they weren't told because they were just things that you got into circumstances, you had to be clever to get your way out of them, and these aren't things that put you in jail, but they certainly were things that I had to learn to be resourceful.
Yeah. Is helicopter parenting similar to this, or is that something different?
No, exactly, exactly. Helicopter parenting is that concept of, I really would like to be your best friend. I want to be around you all the time. I want to see everything you're doing. Maybe I missed as a parent a little bit of my childhood, and I really wish I'd been in a sorority. I really wish I'd gone out for football, and so I'm going to hover in there, and I'm going to just make sure that you do everything I didn't get to do.
Yeah. In the neighborhood that I live in, the kids that go to school are 12, 13 years old. They're driven to the bus stop, and they're picked up from the bus stop, and yet the walk from the bus stop to the house is no more than 2 minutes. And I kind of almost get angry about that I even see that. It's just like, what are you doing? Is that a fear attitude by the parents because of all the nasty things that go on in the world?
Yeah, you've picked that right out of a chapter of Entitlemania. That exact description, only happening in California, is in the book. And it talks about not understanding why these parents coddle these kids, and they're fearful to the point of walking and even holding them. Even when you see them at the bus stop, the moms or the dads are embraced with the child, and they're not even socializing between 12-year-olds. It's really the parents that are talking, and the kids are just clinging.
Interesting.
And I think that there is a modicum of fear to this whole deal, this modicum of this asset that is just so incredibly valuable to them, this child, that they don't want to have anything unfortunate happen. And so, you know, the parents, when you're fully enabling as a parent, when you're codependent as a parent, it's amazing how unable you are to see your own actions.
Yeah. Wasn't there a famous murder case recently where the kid actually didn't know that to murder somebody or to cause harm to somebody was a bad thing, and the courts found in their favor because the kid was never really taught right from wrong by the parents who, similar to Entitlemania, he just never knew the outside world and won the case accordingly.
Well, there have been a number of cases, Ron, like that, and I know that out here in California, it's an older case, but the Menendez brothers,
yeah, sure,
in Beverly Hills that came in and shotgunned their parents to death,
yeah,
who are still in prison. When they brought up their defenses were is that mom and dad were not very good moms and dads. Mm-hmm. When that didn't work, they started on the, well, they were abusive. Well, did they touch you? Well, no, it was emotionally
right.
abusive.
Yeah.
So very similar.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about the book itself. There are stories and examples of what you're talking about in the book.
Yes, and they're real examples, too. The names have been changed, but they are really real examples, and they're only the tip of the iceberg, because for every one that's in there, there's probably another 30 that have happened.
Let's get to if it indeed a good percentage are parents that are financially comfortable, is it a good idea for the parents to let their children know that they will be financially secure in the future because of their investments, their estate, et cetera? Does that make a child more or less apt to fend for themselves, to financially be independent themselves, et cetera?
Yeah, it's a little more sinister than that. It's sinister in that the sense that gives us when we hear about that, gee, does a kid all of a sudden begin to make the emotional and an intellectual decision that they're more comfortable?
Yeah.
Not really. What happens, it's very slight, and it's really just something that begins to dawn on the children, become part of their world.
Right.
It's not like they, you know, when they're young, and they're 10 and 11 and 12, and they're doing things and having things. They get to be 16. They get the car.
Yeah.
I've had more parents decide as a result of reading this book that they're not going to get their kids a brand new car at 16.
Good.
You know, these things just kind of climb on, and it's unfortunate because the kids really don't have the defenses. They don't have the ability to say, gee, I really know this is bad for me,
yes,
and I really would rather do it on my own. So, gee, mom and dad, could you not support me, and could you stay away from me financially?
Right.
They don't know to do that. And so mom and dad are feeding the goldfish. The goldfish are eating everything that's thrown in the bowl.
Yep.
And ultimately what happens is the kids talk about it as a matter of fact. I've recently even been to a wedding back in the East Coast where the bride, who I've known for 30 years, was just getting married since she was just born.
Yeah.
Beautiful gal. The night before was telling me, you know, our future looks really great. And I said, well, how's that? And he said, well, Grandma's getting older, and she's got a trust, and she's almost dead.
Yeah.
And now mom and dad, and they're going to inherit it on my husband's side. He's got already grandparents are dead, and there's a trust set up for him.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot, but mom and dad have got more. And when both parents go, we look like we need to go to about 40 years old, and then we're going to be set.
Wow.
And this is the day before her wedding, and she's a sweetheart.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with her. I mean, from a standpoint of outside influences, but to look at this beautiful gal and to have her talk so matter of fact about their financial future, I wished mom and dad had never talked about it.
Right, but it's been handed to her on a platter, accordingly.
Yep.
I know parents now, because they're all different kind of parenting methods, where the child is born, and up till the age of 8 months to a year, that child sleeps in bed with them every night. And I'm wondering, is that starting to nurture that same type of attitude in that child, even at that age?
You're probably now venturing, Ron, into a world of psychology in terms of my experience that I don't have.
Okay.
So, you know, I would say between you and I talking, I think it's probably a pretty good bet that kid's getting very dependent.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, at this point, I see these things start to happen. The entitlement issue may start there, but it certainly can continue on and get very strong in the age of 2 and 3. Just by even the idea to me of, I see in every coffee shop now parents handing kids at 2 a cell phone and just letting them space out.
Yeah.
And there's no interaction between mom and dad. And that interaction, as they begin to become conversant, is incredibly important to not deflect that. And it's lazy of mom and dad to do that. It's lazy of them not to take on what you and I know is just sometimes not very fun. Parenting is really sometimes a big chore.
It is, especially it's hard to change a pattern that you've had going on for sometimes a couple of decades, and then the kid becomes a young adult and doesn't know what the hell to do because they had no foundation of figuring things out for themselves. The parents already locked into taking care of their kid for the rest of their lives. How does a parent break the habit? Can they?
I believe it can be fixed you can begin to move in the direction of fixing it at any age. And I've watched that happen. And what the parents have to be ready for at 12 and at 16 and at 21 and at 40 and at 50 is there's going to be pushback. So now what you could have done gradually, you're going to have to do really with a jerk, knee-jerk reaction. And you're going to get pushback. And so I've watched that happen with kids that are young, that are 12 and 13, that mom and dad just say, look, from now on, you're on your own, and this is the way it's going to be. And you can imagine as the child begins to feel the struggle, it's perilous for them, and it's uncomfortable for them, and they rebel. Yeah. And the more interesting ones are the ones when you get to be 30, and 35 and 40, and I've been in many, many circumstances where kids are well-supported financially, and mom and dad just say, you know, it's time that you go get a job. And if they're willing to let them, really, really feel the consequences of life out there, they pull back substantially, and all of a sudden the kids go out and do their thing. And I've been with those families for 35 years, like that, and I can tell you that one of the most amazing things is to watch a 30-year-old or a 35-year-old come in confidentially to me as an attorney and say, where in the world were mom and dad's heads that they didn't do this 15 years ago?
I know. It's almost, I mean, I know it's reversible at any point, but it's almost too late. When a child 20 years old or 22 is living in your house and you say, you can't live here, I'm kicking you out, you're basically kicking them out onto the street. You're kicking a kid out who has no concept as to how to handle themselves, how to do anything, and it's just a sad situation. The parent is saying, "I can't have my child living on the streets. I can't have him jobless. I can't have him without money." It just becomes like a conundrum of confusion, I think.
And yet, I can tell you that chapter one of the book opens with me having that same issue with my youngest son.
Yeah, sure.
And it was incredibly painful to basically say, you know, this is going to be your idea, so you're not going to tell your mother, and you're going to be out, and I'm going to support you for a number of months, and then you're done. And I said, if you wind up pushing a shopping cart around, you're welcome over for dinner, but you can't spend the night. And, you know, he fully is employed now. He's got his own apartment. He's doing incredibly well. He's bought his own car. All those things have happened. So we all make those mistakes. And I really do believe there's a way to correct it, and the book talks about how to do that.
Well, the book is called Entitlemania. Richard Watts, he's written the Bible of raising your kids so that they can become independent on their own. And it's fascinating stories and ideas, and I think every parent should really read it and see what happens. Richard, how do we follow you?
You can follow me at entitlemania.com, at Twitter at Rich Watts, R-I-C-H-W-A-T-T-S, and a hello to my friends and alums at HBS.
Okay. Hey, great talking to you, Richard. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Well, thank you for hanging on today. A lot of you are snowed in, and had no choice. I mean, there are other things to do, I guess. So I do thank you for being here. I do apologize to the teenagers and the kids that I had to shoo out of the room. You may come back now and do what you were doing in the company of your parents. And I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. And I'm serious about that. I really do. You may get a phone call from one of our people. It's a satisfaction survey to see how much you enjoyed the show today. Please be kind and rate me very, very highly. Also, one of my telemarketing people will be trying to sell you my new brand of pants. If so, please buy a lot of them.